So it was VBS week, and we're starting a new sermon series this morning called Servants in the Lord. And I think it's perfect timing to start a series called Servants in the Lord when you follow VBS. And so there was a lot of things that happened this week that Lauren was too kind to mention. So if you didn't hear, if you remember last Monday was like stupid hot. Our air conditioners decided to not work that day. So we had 140-some kids on Monday night, and it was 80-some degrees in here, and that's a lot. And so we fought air conditioners all week. This morning, technology decides to take the morning off. We've been fighting that all morning. But I say all that because there's something spiritual, deeply spiritual, that happens during VBS week. And I think we all need to be aware of it. Because when you invest in that next generation, the enemy doesn't like it. And so for all of those, if you were a helper or served at VBS, would you stand for a moment? These people are investing in the next generation. Thank you. Are there any kids in here that came to VBS? Can you stand up? Well, I don't know if we can even tell if you're standing up. Did you all have fun? Yeah, okay. And where's Miss? Yeah. And Miss Lauren's probably hiding somewhere, so I can't pick on her. Is she in here? Yeah, she is hiding. So Lauren Crossett poured all of herself into VBS. So next time you see Lauren, make sure you thank her for all that she did for Celebrate and for the kids. And I think before I get into the message, because there is, I think, a spiritual attack happening through this building and through what God is doing in these kids, I just want to start by praying. So would you pray with me? So gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the week of VBS. I know there's times it's overwhelming. I know there's times it just seems like chaos. But Father, we thank you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence at VBS. Lord, I thank you for all of those volunteers who poured out their lives as an offering this week, who sacrificed much for your kingdom to come and your will be done in that next generation. And Lord, we thank you for each and every child that was here. And we just pray blessing and we pray protection over each one of those kids in the name of Jesus. That Satan, if there's anything that you're trying to do in their lives, through their lives, we rebuke you now. You have no authority in this place. You have no authority in their lives. And so, Holy Spirit, we just continue to invite you in this morning. We want more of you. Jesus, we want more of you. We need more of you. And may you be glorified in this place this morning. And we pray it in the name above all names, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. So, like I had mentioned, we are starting a new sermon series this morning titled Servants in the Lord. So this whole calendar year, we've been in the year of the Lord. And so if you remember, we started the season or the start of the year with a sermon series called Fear of the Lord. And then we went into this one called Q&R, where we would read about people looking at Jesus and they would say, Lord, and ask a question. And then we would talk through how Jesus would respond to those. We did a series on Lord of the Sabbath, and then last week, Andrew wrapped up a series called The Lord's Prayer. And so we move into this servants in the Lord. And Lord, as Andrew's mentioned before, is kind of a weird term for us because it's not normal in our culture because we don't have lords as it would have been for them. And so this series, we're going to talk through how Jesus not only served, but how he calls us to serve. And what that looks like. So we're just going to jump in since we have a lot of parts this morning to get through. So John 12 verses 20 through 26 is where I want us to start this morning. And it says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was there from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. So Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. And Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servants will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So if we can back up a minute to set this up a little more. So we'll see in chapter 11 that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. I don't know if you've ever seen a dead man raised, but it's a big deal, right? People were talking about it. They were excited about it. Almost everybody. Because the next thing we read about is a plot to kill Jesus. So we get good news, and then we get bad news. In chapter 12, as we read on, Mary pours out perfume and anoints Jesus' feet. And then we read about Jesus entering into Jerusalem on a donkey, and everyone's yelling, Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It says the people that had witnessed Lazarus raised from the dead were there, and they were still talking about it. So there's all this energy around Jesus, all this excitement around Jesus. And these Greek people show up and they say, we want to see Jesus. We don't know who these people were. We don't know why they wanted to see Jesus. It just says, we want to see Jesus. But I think that's true of a lot of people in our culture. They just simply say, we want to see Jesus. We don't want to take the time to worship him. We don't want to have to live sacrificially for him. We don't want to surrender our lives to him. We don't want to call him our Lord and Savior. We just want to see him. Maybe we don't want to see him now, but of course when we die, we want to see Jesus. But then if you look at how Jesus responds, it says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, if you were in that moment, your heart would have leaped. Like you would have been so excited, so happy. Yes, Jesus is finally going to take his place. He is finally going to rule. He's finally going to conquer everything that's against us. But Jesus doesn't stop talking. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What? Like, so you would go from being super excited that Jesus is going to take his place as the rightful king, and then he starts talking about wheat dying? What? But Jesus says, it's time for me to come, or it's time for me to do what I came to do. He knew his death was imminent, and it was time for the cross. And that would have been devastating news to them. But then he says, you have to do what I do. You must follow me. Whoever serves me must follow me, but where I am, my servants also will be. And my Father will honor the one who serves me. So Jesus isn't telling them, and he's not telling us, that we just need to walk around and be grouchy. We just need to be in a bad mood, wanting to die. He's not saying hate your life. He's actually saying the exact opposite. That we need to put to death our selfishness. We need to put to death our greed, our lust, our worldly desires. You know, all those things that don't really make us happy anyway. To love each other like he did. To serve one another like Jesus did. To live sacrificially like Jesus did. And as I've thought through that all week, I've just had this phrase that keeps echoing through my brain. Well, that's simple, but it's not easy. Simple, but not easy. Right? Jesus lived the perfect life. But through that whole life, knowing that he was going to die a brutal death, he knew the outcome. He knew the simple truth that he would have to go through to glorify the Father. He would have to lay down his life for ours. He knew the one seed had to die so many seeds could grow. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's simple for us to say that we need to serve others before ourselves, right? It's simple for us to say that we need to sacrifice our desires and our longings to serve Jesus. And we've already talked about it. We know that the enemy tempts us each and every day in so many different ways. And we read that Jesus went through the same temptations, right? In Matthew 4, Satan takes him to the high mountain. He says, listen, I will give you all of this if you will only bow down and worship me. And Jesus says, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And even later when Jesus predicts his death, Peter says, no, 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 Lord, that will never, that can never happen to you. To which Jesus replies, get behind me, Satan. He always had his eyes on the cross. He knew the cost. But where are our eyes focused? Are our eyes focused on Jesus and everything we do? Do we cast aside things that we know are evil? Do we serve others like Jesus served us? That's a hard question. I know we all want to say yes. His cost was way higher than ours. But are we willing to pay it? It's simple, but it's not easy. So for the next couple weeks, you're going to hear some really great teaching about serving. You're going to be introduced into many ideas on how to serve, what that looks like, ways that you can serve around here or in our community. But I want to spend the rest of our morning, and I want you to hear from people that actually lived this out, that did this very thing. So I want to invite the team that went to Abaco up here. I didn't tell you this, but there's chairs down in that corner. You got to bring your own, or you can stand. So for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, this team, we went to Abaco, which is the northernmost island of the Bahamas, from June 4th to the 11th. Abaco was devastated by a hurricane in 2019, and then COVID hit, and they're just starting to get their lives put back together. So as these guys get settled, I want to show you some pictures. Hopefully technology works in Jesus' name. Yes, okay. So I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of what we did each day. I had notes. I don't know where they're at. All right. So this is Tuesday as we leave for the airport like 5 in the morning. Look how excited and how much energy we have. That will change as we go through these pictures. So the first day we traveled to Abaco, and then we got down there and we basically just saw the camp, got settled, figured out what we were going to do, ate supper, spent time in prayer. So this is the view you have when you walk out of your dorm. Not bad. So Wednesday we went to Driftwood Farms, which is a hydroponic farms. Everything in Abaco is limestone, so they can't grow anything. So they're learning how to do hydroponics, and so we helped harvest and kind of tear down their camp or their farm because it's hurricane season. So here's another view of that same farm And you'll hear these guys talk more about it. And then they fed us supper and we got to play some sand volleyball. And I realized that I'm getting too old to play sand volleyball. So Thursday and Friday, we got to work at the Saunders farm or the Saunders house. And we talked a little bit about this. But we did a lot of work at this house. We painted the entire interior. We hung light fixtures, ceiling fans. We did siding. We fixed their living room floor. You can see the plywood. It was a sunken living room. We raised it up. We did a lot of work. I'm probably missing something, but you guys can fill me in. Yeah, there's the siding we're doing. And maybe the funnest part is we got to pray for the family, pray over their home, and just bless them in the midst of all of that. And then, I don't know what night that is, Friday night, we went to a youth camp or a youth night, got to play games, worship with them, just spend some time with them, played wiffle ball. It was fun. What's next? Ah, yes. Saturday is what they call Culture Day. So they show you around the island, explain kind of what life was like before and after the hurricane, and you get to experience different things. So this is what they call the Blue Hole. It's actually a freshwater thing that's like 400 and some feet deep. They call it the Blue Hole. It's not blue at all. And then we got to go to Winding Bay or Winding Beach. You can't tell it here, but the sand is kind of a pink color. It's really, really beautiful. And then we got to learn how to catch land crabs. There was only a couple of us brave enough to do this. Sunday we went to church. So down here in the bottom, the lady in the yellowish shirt with the short hair and the lady in the pink shirt, that's the Saunders, whose house we worked on. So they attend this church and worship there. And then we went to a local restaurant to eat lunch to kind of get more of the culture. And we did this last year, and it absolutely poured on us, and we had to run to the vans in the pouring rain. And this year, it absolutely poured on us, and we had to run to the vans in the pouring rain. So I see a tradition building here. Sunday afternoon, we did some work around the camp, and on Monday, we did the same. So this is the team before us tore down this concrete building, and we had to clean it up so they could put a new water tank there. So as you can tell, not a lot of fun labor, but guys did amazing on it. We delivered some books to a library at one of the schools. And for those of you who went last year, if you saw this room, it was just a pile of books in the middle of the room. They've got it all organized. It's all on the computer now. This is the first library the school has had in over a decade. So they're really excited. So we got to spend some time praying in there as well, which was fun. We did food distribution, so this is Miss Shirley sitting here on the left. We got to go into, 10 homes-ish, deliver them food, hear their stories, spend some time with them, pray with them. This was one of my favorite parts of the whole trip. And then that evening, we got to share our impact stories. So this is not, Many Hands does not call this a mission trip. They call it an impact trip. And so throughout the week, everybody on the trip went through this book, and it really helps you digest like how you're feeling physically, emotionally, spiritually, what the Lord's doing in you and through you, just so you don't lose track of it. And then we kind of all gather and share our stories on Sunday night. Also, one of my favorite parts. And then this is the Saunders family meeting us at the airport as we were leaving. Oh, there's the notes I was looking for earlier. That's awkward. Okay, so we almost got the whole team back together. So there was also three people, Matt, Luke, and Kate Sogard from the Kansas City area that went with us again this year, which they couldn't be here, which is unfortunate. So before I ask questions, I just want to say thank you. So I told you guys down there that my prayer for this trip from day one, like November of 22 when we started planning this, was Galatians 5 that says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." And you did that. So thank you for all the ways that you sacrificed physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. You loved everybody well. So thank you. Celebrate. These people did you proud. I also want to say thank you to all of their families. We recognize that it was also a huge sacrifice for you guys, for us to be gone for a week. So guys, would you help me thank them for all they did? And lastly, church, thank you. I know that was a 24/7 prayer week, and so thank you for all the ways that you prayed for us while we were gone. It was really cool to come back and go into the prayer room and see all those notes with Abaco written on them for the ways that people were praying for us. So you could have been doing a lot of other things, but you chose to sacrifice your time and pray for us. So thank you to each and every one of you. All right, guys, so servants in the Lord. So let's start from the beginning. How or why do you feel like the Lord called you to be a part of this impact trip? Oh, here comes the awkward silence.
Okay. So for me, I think that it was just the opportunity to be, you know, Jesus' hands and feet while we were there. Through that, you know, whether it was the physical labor that we got to do every day or just the countless opportunities we had, you know, for prayer, the daily devotionals, and just growing spiritually while we were there.
And this was your first ever mission trip, right?
Yep. This is the first time.
Was it what you thought it would be?
Yeah. I don't know.
You said that with a lot of confidence.
I didn't have a great expectation going in, but the more we talked about it, I was a little bit hesitant at first because I didn't really know. I'd been kind of looking for a way to maybe serve in a different way. And then, you know, after I knew that once I got there, I felt comfortable doing the physical labor part, but really, once you got there and you got around everybody, you know, by the first 6 hours, you're pretty well comfortable with everybody that you're with. So it ended up being, it was a great trip and a lot of fun.
Yeah. Anybody else want to add to that one? There you are.
Sorry.
You're good.
For me, Logan and I have talked about doing another mission trip. It had been quite a while since we had done one. And so I think we've all can relate to the moments in our lives where we feel the Holy Spirit prompting us to do something, and you can only ignore it for so long before somebody point blank asks you, do you want to go on this trip? And I'm like, okay, this I can't ignore it. Yeah. It's I got to be obedient and do what I feel called to do. So,
yeah, and that conversation that Maddie's referring to is we were at the food pantry one day, and she's like, well, I'd love to do that, but there's just so much going on. And I made the point of there's always going to be something going on. So you just have to commit to going and go. And she did that, and I'm glad she did. Anybody else want to add to that one?
Okay.
Okay.
So about 10 years ago, I felt like God put it on my heart to serve the people of Haiti, right? To go on a Many Hands for Haiti trip. And last year, we experienced Many Hands. And we didn't know who we were going to be serving or what we were going to be serving. I felt like it was my best option to pursue that. And yeah, so last year we went for the first time and had such a great time getting to know the people that went with us and just serving the people of Abaco in that way. So it was good. I don't know if I was so much called this year, but I had such a good time last year that I could not go. You know?
He says that, but then he's not going next year. So I don't know what that means. All right. So what was the favorite part of your trip, or what was the favorite way you served and why? So part of the deal when we go on this trip is I try to stretch everybody. Like I make them do devotions, I make them pray out loud. And they do the same thing down there when I say, who wants to pray? And they all...
Yeah, we say, Judd, you do it.
Yeah.
So I would say one of the highlights was spending time with the Saunders. So we worked on their house, I think the second day we were there. I mean, we got there and the next day we hit the ground running and we were working on their home. But different than maybe other mission trips I've been on or even last year, we were able to spend time with them. We were able to talk with them. We were able to hear their story. their daughter, Lariel, spent about the entire week with us and made friends with just about all of us. She's a very special young lady. And so hearing their story and being able to connect with them and the people that you're serving just makes it that much more real. And it makes it worthwhile, I guess. And even around their home. I mean, their home was being blessed by people coming down and helping them. There's still so much other stuff around them that needs help and mm-hmm. needs to be, yeah, God needs to work in miraculous ways to continue to heal that community. But connecting with them was by far the best part. And you know, her mom spent a ton of time with us, too, and said goodbye to us at the airport. So clearly making that connection. Hopefully, if we get a chance to go back, hopefully we can connect with them. And so, yeah, that was my favorite part. And I think it was a highlight for most of our trip.
Anybody else want to add to that?
Yeah, I will. I think my favorite part is just when we go out and like at the Saunders house, we just all came together as like one body to accomplish this mm-hmm. task, to help these people. And it's pretty amazing that you can get a group of people who don't necessarily spend a lot of time together and know each other really well to come together and just like mesh so good and get so much done in a little amount of time, you know. But that little amount of time was such a big blessing to this family that we were down there to help out. And I think it's just really cool to see that, you know, just to work as a team. Mm-hmm. And it also just helps when you're doing those team things to really get to know the people that you're on the trip with. Because like when I went my first year, I didn't hardly know anybody from this church. And just like through this experience and just working together with everybody, I've made some really good friends down there. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just kind of bled through into my normal life and helped me with my experience. So that's my favorite part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of feeding off what Russ said with the Saunders family, it's just kind of a funnier, happy memory. So they leveled their floor, and Miss Saunders has troubles with, like, MS and things like that. So she would often, like, fall or have accidents in the house because of the floor. So they fixed that, and the men in the group did. And after we were all done for the day, she looked at us, and she goes, "What's that song called?" And we're like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "Is it called Chicken Fried?" And she loves that song. Yeah. And so we played it for her, and she was just so happy, and she finally got to dance on her living room floor.
Yeah. I should have put that video in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was cool.
Yeah. 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 Just like the littlest things made them so happy.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
So the flip side of that same coin, what was the hardest part of your trip? Whether that be, again, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Because you were stretched in all of that.
Sleeping?
Yeah.
Sleeping was one of the hardest things to do down there.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's hot down there, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, so he told us not to dwell on this, but it's hot. It's hot, and you can't sleep. But what's amazing is when you think about it, you're getting maybe 4 hours of sleep a night, if you're lucky. But yet, you wake up in the morning, you're ready to go, and somehow you're sustained mm-hmm. throughout the day. And you stay up until late hours at night, getting to know each other, and you do it over and over and over again. And usually if I were to do that here, I would just be exhausted. And I don't know how I did it, but something, I mean, I do know how, but something keeps you going throughout that week. And it's just, it's miraculous when you think back at how little sleep and how hot you are, how you're able to manage to function throughout that week and function at a high level, I believe. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I encourage them not to dwell on the heat part of it because I'm like, we want people to go next year. But the reality is it is hot. There's no air conditioning for the most part to get relief from it. But like Russ said, you just get acclimated. You figure out and it's like fasting in a way. The Lord just sustains you through the whole thing. Any other hard parts anybody wants to talk about? Nobody wants to talk about hard parts.
There was a day where they're like, "Hey, we need someone to demo a building." And I was like, I mean, I could swing a sledgehammer, but the sun was hot that day. The demoing was pretty much done. So there wasn't a lot of sledgehammer swinging, which was what I was excited about. But it was just more rubble cleanup. And that was, I mean, it's not fun, but we made it fun. We had a good group, and it was fun. So. It was hard, but fun.
Fun is one thing we did really well. Yeah. There was, towards the very end of the trip, like when we were taxiing to the gate in Des Moines in the plane, things kind of went off the rails a little bit, but that was just, we were just delirious at that point. So Mike, Mike Bender, one of the things you were talking about is being one body. And when you said that, it tripped that that was part of your devotion. And so one of the things, like I said, is, well, I guess I didn't ask. I told them that they would all do a devotion. So we did morning and evening devotions every day, and then we also did time in our impact books. Talk about that, the devotion part of it or the impact story. Is there anything that you heard from the Lord, anything you discovered about yourself that you didn't know before you went? This is where we get vulnerable and everybody hands the mic to somebody else. Jaylen, okay.
I was going to say, I think surprisingly the devotionals were my favorite part. I think.
Can you say that again?
They really were.
Okay.
I had so much anxiety over planning mine and doing mine, but to hear from everybody in this group, you all had such good points, and in each devotional impacted me every single day. I mean, Mike's, yours, when we were talking about being tools of God, mm-hmm. and then we went and did construction, it was like, whoa. And then Bender, when you gave yours, it was, not even 10 minutes before you gave your devotional, I had talked to Mike Kramer about some things that were on my heart and what was going through my brain at that point in time. And what your devotional was exactly what I needed to hear and what I had just been talking to Mike Kramer about. So it was like goosebumps, and just, it was the Holy Spirit. And as I look back on that experience, like, that's what he's been telling me some stuff, but I've been ignoring him. And so that whole conversation was what I got out of the trip. And so it was just fantastic. And that was my favorite part.
Yeah, one thing I found really cool too is I think everybody had an idea of what their devotion was before we went. You know, I think everybody had been working on them. But then when you got there, how they all just kind of tied together, and it felt like a lot of times maybe they were even relevant to the day of what we were doing that day, or it just felt like, you know, the morning one tied into the evening one, even though I don't think any of us had any idea what the other person was doing.
Mm-hmm. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, so I had an idea of what I wanted to do for a devotional going in, and then I got there and I kind of like sat down the first night and I just started like reading my Bible, and I saw Mark 7 and I read it, and I was like, maybe I'll do it over this, like, sure, kind of seems like maybe I should do that. And then so I did that, and I was just kind of like, whatever, like, maybe the Lord wants me to hear that, maybe not. And then we got to church Sunday morning and they did it over Mark 7. And I was kind of like, oh, like, you kind of called me out there. Like, yeah, maybe I was supposed to listen. So just, like, being more intentional in, like, what I listen to. And, like, when I read the Bible, like, if it sticks out, it's for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that also just shows how powerful the devotion time was and how powerful the impact time was. I mean, we're talking several weeks ago, and we can still remember what each other talked about in those times. So, which is really cool. How do you think serving in this opportunity affected your relationship with others and with the Lord?
I kind of talked about it earlier, how, and it's been kind of brought up, we know each other, we've seen each other around, but like when you go on an international mission trip, and like you're stuck with them, right? You learn to love them, right?
He says that with the most love possible.
I mean, there's just no way not to grow together as one, right? Like as one body, mm-hmm. you know. And I don't know where my thought was going, but
sorry, I interrupted you. So let me ask the easy question. How many of you would be willing or want to go back? Russ is still thinking. I'm not. Wait a minute. Who's going? Okay, yeah. So what would you say to anybody that's out here or watching online that kind of feel that stirring like they're supposed to go, but they don't feel like they can take that leap? What would you tell them to kind of say you're supposed to go?
I would just tell them to go, because I had my reservations about going the first time, but I just put it aside and did it. I guess you don't know until you do it. Just do something hard, you know, step out of your comfort zone, and it's an experience. It's a really good experience. It doesn't matter your skill level, you know, what you can do. Just go. God will find a place for you. Like me, I flew all the way down there, and one day all I did was run a paintbrush. That's all I did, you know. So that's what God wanted me to do, so that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And you just get so filled up just helping people out. So I would just say put those fears aside. Don't worry about, you know, any of the other stuff when it comes to devotionals. You know, that's my hang up. I don't like putting myself out there all the time, but it's a good thing to do. So I just say put those things aside and take a chance and go on this trip. And I guess if you need any help or any advice, any of us are willing to do that, you know, talk you through it. And so, yeah.
Simple but not easy. Anybody else?
Yeah, the words international trip are scary. As just those two words are just scary, right? And if there's any reservations, this is probably one of the safest international trips you could go on. You know, when we go to camp, we are very secluded. We're probably 20 miles or 40 minutes at least from anybody. So no one's going to be sneaking up on you at night or whatever. It's locked, it's secured. Well, I mean, like, I just don't want you to think, like, oh, it's so different. Like, it is different in a way, but it's also so similar to home, right? Mm-hmm. And you get a comfy bed, you get fed food, and often, they feed us often. So if there's any reservations, I would strongly, I mean, Jesus is only going to show up, right? Like, we can all tell you how Jesus showed up, and if you want to experience it, this is the great, great, safe thing to do. So I strongly encourage you to do it.
One of the trade-offs for doing the hard work is it is the Bahamas, too. So there's a lot of fun stuff. We did a lot of snorkeling. I mean, you can imagine all the coral reef type of things you get to see at night when we were done working for the day. So there was a lot of fun to be had while we were there, too.
Kind of ties back with my devotion thing. It's like, if you have that feeling, it's there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Like, don't ignore it. So.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, it's beautiful because it's Bahamas. Nobody will sneak up on you, and we will feed you. Praise the Lord. Last word? Anybody got a last word? Boy, that made me sound like Andrew. All right, let me pray. Oh, let me add this. June 17th through the 24th next year, Celebrate is signed up to go back to Abaco. We would like to take at least 10 people with us. So June 17th through the 24th, 2025. If you are at all interested or feel that nudging from God, come find one of us, and we'd love to talk to you about it. Let's pray. So, gracious Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for this team, even the ones that can't be here this morning. Lord, the way that they sacrificed so many things in their lives to say yes to you. So many ways that they served and loved unconditionally, expecting nothing in return, just poured themselves out for the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for all the people we got to meet down there and the blessings that we received from them, the ways they poured into us. And Lord, I pray for each and every person in this room or whoever can hear the sound of my voice, that if the Holy Spirit is stirring in you, listen to that. Lord God, would you just fill their hearts, fill their minds in a way that is undeniable that you were speaking to them and calling them on this trip. We recognize that this trip may not be for everyone. But Lord, we also recognize that we don't have to go halfway around the world to serve you. We can do that in our own backyard. We can do that in our job. We can do that with the person sitting right beside you right now. It's simple, but it's not easy. But Lord, we trust you that you have been faithful before and you will be faithful again. Yeah. So come, Lord Jesus. We pray it in your precious and holy name. Amen. Help me thank these guys one more time, would you? Yeah.